What's for dinner?
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Oh my god, that was like the most ghetto way of doing an intro to this show. Hey guys, welcome to what I assume is going to be an incredibly fun-filled episode of What's for Dinner. It's me, it's Flip. This week, I'm not at the living room / studio. No. Let me tell you what's going on. Allison, my lovely wife and partner, came down with something, some kind of bug. She's probably like in the middle of it, you know, the worst. She's probably at the peak of it, so she's going to be going down. Hey, but sorry. But we had our guest coming over to do the show, and not only is a guest a friend, he also is doing two shows this weekend at Flappers headlining, and I'm like, the last thing I would want if I was headlining for two nights in a row is to be somewhere where somebody's sick. So we moved the show this week, so we're actually broadcasting from the lovely Yoo-Hoo Room at Flappers Comedy Club, where, coincidentally, my guest is also going to be headlining tonight and tomorrow, and I'll be opening, hosting for him, and should be a lot of fun. My guest sitting right with me, KT Tatar, is here, everybody.
Yeah.
Yay. Woo. There's no one in here. Oh,
God. What's up?
You can imagine the applause. Thanks for doing this, man.
Yeah, Flip. Good to be here. We're in the Yoo-Hoo Room.
Yeah.
This is you.
This is fun. Normally, I do it out of my apartment.
This is kind of weird because we're sitting in the audience, but I don't think I've ever even sat here before. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you go to so many comedy shows, you never really get to sit
in the audience.
Sit in the audience.
Can you watch a show now, or are you just so, like, just
I really can't. I try to every now and then. I can stand, like, 20 minutes or something at the most, and then that's it. I mean, even if the person's famous or whoever, it's just, like, it's tough.
It's
someone I haven't seen in a long time, then maybe like I'll kind of watch like the whole thing. But other than that, it's like it's really hard, man.
Like, can you name any comic that you would actually watch the full set?
Like a headlining set?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, if it's somebody I haven't, you know, every now and then, I guess Louis C.K. or
he's on my list. Yeah,
yeah. Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, like. You know, we don't get to see them too much, and so like they'll pop in town or they'll pop in one of the clubs, and you'd be there, and it's like, you know, once a year or something, I'll probably watch their whole thing and know they're working on a special. It's kind of cool. You get to see the special
develop.
Yeah, before it kind of comes out or while it's in progress. But other than that, it's like, you know, Bill Burr maybe. I mean, like, it's really hard.
No, I know what you mean. Like, for me, it's Bill, Louis, probably Doug Stanhope.
Yeah. He's another guy. It's like you don't get to see him.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I'm a fan of all three of them
right.
As far as their comedy and everything. So I could legitimately watch their show and be a fan as opposed to a comic going, oh, I've heard that bit or
right.
critiquing or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is interesting kind of like sitting in the crowd.
Just
like
feels
that.
Different. It's weird.
I know Allison gets on me. She's like, you know, you should show respect. You should sit and watch. Like, there's actually a comedian. I won't say name, but they were doing a headlining show here and we came to see him and I sat through there, and I tried to sit through the show, but I was so antsy, I just couldn't. I kept getting up and down.
Right,
and
right.
She was giving me daggers.
It just feels weird. It's just like you want to get on stage, or you want to go up, or you want to look at your notes, and just sitting in the audience, like, watching the other
it's
person.
It's so hard. Like, how long have you been doing comedy now?
13 years total, but the first 2 years, it was kind of like I wasn't getting on stage much, so I would say, like, 11 as far as, like, hardcore, just like, trying to get on as much as possible, like, you know.
Like your full-time job 11
yeah,
years?
Yeah, like, not, okay. And, well, the first time, full-time job, probably say, like, I don't know, 9.5 or something like that, you know, so, you know, I got going pretty quickly, like, on the road stuff.
But. Yeah, well, where did you start?
I started in the Washington. Well, the first time I was on stage actually was the Cleveland Improv.
Oh, okay.
I was in
Sarah
college.
Nye.
Was that
Sarah Nye?
Sarah Nye.
She was the.
Oh yeah, right. The Booker. Oh yeah. For some reason I heard like Sarah Nye, like a city name, like a Sarah Nye.
Sarah
I'm like,
Nye?
Yeah.
So hard
I'm like,
to
is
find.
That a, is that? I was like thinking like Sarasota, Sarah Nye. I'm like, wait a minute, where is that? I was like, oh, Sarah Nye. Right. Yes, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, the Cleveland Improv.
Yeah, so I did the workshop there. I was in college. I was 20 years old. Went up there on the weekend. I was in West Virginia at college, so it was like a 3-hour drive. Drove up there every weekend, did the workshop, had a performance at the end of it at the Cleveland Improv. That was cool. And
how old were you at the time?
I was 20.
Okay.
Yeah, and then so that was like my first start, and I kind of started writing a lot, tried to I went to like Pittsburgh for an open mic because that was about an hour away, and like DC and whatever. And yeah, and then a few years later, I moved back home to the DC area. And that's when I really started getting on, like, D.C., Baltimore, okay. Just driving all over. So that's really kind of, like, the home base as far as, like, getting on a lot, you know?
And when did you move out to L.A.?
2003, so 10 years ago. Just about almost 10 years ago.
Wow, okay.
So yeah.
For some reason, I thought that you were out here before I was. Because I got here at the beginning of 01.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I don't know why.
No, yeah.
But I
met you pretty early. I think I met you, like, you were one of the first people I think I met. Because, like, you were open for Pablo or something, mm-hmm. and I had just opened for Pablo, like, in D.C. Like, I don't think you were there, but, Baltimore. I think I was hosting or something. And I met him, like, a few months before I moved to L.A.
Okay.
And then I think...
Because of the Pablo connection,
we knew
of each other or something.
Yeah, I think I went to go see... I think maybe he was in Brea or Irvine or something like that, and I went to go say what's up, and then you were there or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know if I met you there. I think I met you at the Hollywood Improv, actually.
Probably. That's where... Scenes
that's what everyone says.
that's
where everyone hung out.
Yeah, that was the kind of center.
But I think it was something like that. Like maybe I met you there, but like I saw you on the show with Paul or something like that. And then it was like, whatever.
Okay. Oh, nice.
So it was pretty early on, yeah.
Yeah, and you were, I remember you being like really young.
I was pretty young.
Really
I was 23.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, we talked about this like a week or two ago, just how I remembered you as the Asian guy with the the frosted tipped
hair.
Yeah,
you have it saved in your phone as like Chinese guy. I'm like half Japanese, and you're like Chinese guy with blonde afro hair.
I generalize.
It's close enough, you know.
You're probably like putting your phone a Jewish Italian guy maybe with receding hair.
No, you know what? That was somewhat of a strategic marketing move on my point, because when I first moved to LA, I just had put in like highlights, and I always wanted to have like blonde highlights when I was a kid, but I was like too afraid to do it. So I was like, man, I'm just gonna go to LA, I'm gonna put it in and grow my hair out, and it's
how people knew you.
Yeah, because as far as like when you're meeting so many people, it's easy just to go like, hey, what's up, and then you call them up later, hey, it's KT, you know, the Asian guy with the blonde afro thing.
It was a great
and people were
card.
Like, oh yeah, I remember, like it stuck out.
That's,
you know?
Exactly. I mean, again, that's, you saw it on my phone, that's how I had you when I first met you. I just never changed the notes.
Now I don't have it, for your listeners out there, I've toned it down, you know.
So you, okay. As an Asian comedian, like did you kind of find yourself getting lumped in with like the Amy Andersons and the Dat Fans
a little
and Bobby
bit
Lee's.
Amy, actually, she was like one of the first people I met also when I moved out to LA. She was doing a show at the Hollywood Improv,
yeah.
And that was actually one of the first shows I did, I think, in LA as far as like at a club, and so she put me on that show. My experience though, I didn't grow up like kind of like some of the, well, I think Amy's adopted, but like the kind of more stereotypical Asian comics that maybe had the overbearing Asian parents or immigrant thing.
Yeah.
You know, my parents, like my dad's Japanese, my mom's white. My dad was always working as a kid. I grew up more of my white side. My dad's side of the family all lives in Japan. You know, so I kind of grew up, I want to say like more white, but I didn't identify as like this like weird Asian kid bringing kimchi to elementary school. You know what I mean? Like I didn't have that.
But did you find yourself like having to... finding it difficult to separate yourself from that, just strictly based on how people would perceive your comedy to be?
A little bit. Like, I would try... I mean, it still kind of happens. Like, I try not to do the same jokes that I feel like I've heard before. Mm-hmm. I try to put, like, a different angle or spin that's more my experience.
Totally.
But at the same time, people hear, like, one Asian thing or they hear one Jewish thing or whatever. They don't really go, oh, that's a
different
take.
Different twist
or,
on it. Absolutely.
They just kind of go, oh, yeah, you and the Asian jokes. It was funny. And I'm like... wasn't really. I was actually trying to do a different take on it, but you know, so that was the tough part. At the same time, it was an opening to get on stage. You know, I didn't want to go like, no, I'm not doing any Asian shows because that's not me, and you know, lose stage time. I kind of had to take those shows, and it's not
that's
like
true.
I hate Asians or something like that. It's just I wasn't gonna try to fake it and just do this whole act that wasn't you. That wasn't me. Yeah.
Right.
So I was trying to find that blend of like, how can I do something that fits the mold of the show and be in there, but not also like sell out completely and have people get the wrong idea. So yeah, it was kind of tough, and sometimes still is. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Sometimes I do shows, I just don't even say it at all, and you know, see what happens.
You don't say that you're Asian?
Yeah, I mean, I won't bring. I leave it up to chance to see if they figured out. Yeah. Well, I just don't make like any references to it at all, you know.
Gotcha.
And that's just not really a choice thing. It just kind of happens, and I just kind of don't go into it that night or whatever. But other nights, I'll end up talking about like race stuff for like the whole set. So.
Yeah, because I mean, I've never seen you do a headlining set, so I'm actually excited to watch this week. But I really don't remember you even like doing too much like epic humor.
I used to just open with like one bit about how I basically didn't do any of those jokes or something like that, or how like I wasn't that guy that did all that stuff.
Oh, nice.
And then I would go like into everything else. So it's like I kind of semi-address it, but then the majority of the set never really was.
I gotcha.
Even at the most, like the headlining set, the most racial references is 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes out of 45, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
But again, it's that thing. It's like if that sticks with the people,
that's
you'll do an hour, and afterwards, like, bro, man, but those Asian jokes, that was funny, and you're like, what?
See, I like that you said, you know, I don't like to do jokes that are like reminiscent of other jokes that you're like, oh, I've heard that before. Like, I have that filter in my head. I've been doing it long enough. I'm like, I come up with an idea, and I go, oh wait, you know what? That's really close to so and so's.
Yeah.
Even if no one else knows it, I know it, and
I can't
tell the joke knowing that.
Yeah.
Like, is that a rule you gave yourself early on, or is that just something that happened over...
Yeah, sort of. I mean, you know, starting out, it was just, like, you want to, like, try to get laughs, and then you want to separate yourself, you know, as, like, some young guy on the scene. So mm-hmm. I think it was always just, like, oh, don't do this topic. But at the same time, when you're new and you're young, you don't really have that library of knowledge of comedy bits, you know? So you don't even know what's been done and what's hacky or not. You're like, I've never heard anyone do this bit. And it's like, yeah, no one does anymore because so many people have done it.
I've got a crocodile hunter joke that kills.
So it's like, you don't know. And so, you know, it was just always like a process of like finding out, or you go to enough shows, you see enough comics, then you start realizing like, ooh, maybe this is kind of too common. And, you know, it happens. At the same time, I think I saw a Chris Rock interview. I think it was on his, like, Bring the Pain or something like that, where basically he said, like, I'll only do a pop culture bit. I'm paraphrasing, but mm-hmm. basically I'll only do it if I think I have the best one. So if it's a topic that everyone is kind of covering, like OJ or whatever, mm-hmm. he's like, I'll do it if I think I have the best take. And so that kind of stuff, I saw that in, like, you know, when I was early into comedy, and I was like, you know what, that I like that as like the motto or whatever. I was like, okay, that's a good rule of thumb. If you see other people that only really tackle that topic, if you feel like you have a really solid take or something really different.
Yeah, my sentiment's exactly like I. Matter of fact, I had a crocodile hunter bit when they were all kind of, the thing to talk about, and I remember going, oh, do I want to do a crocodile hunter bit? But I thought about it. I'm like, you know what? I've never heard this angle on
right,
this kind of point of view on it. I'm like, okay, you know what? It is a crocodile hunter bit, but it's an original one.
Right.
So I
and I think that's fine, because like the reason why a lot of people do those topics or those bits is because it's pop culture. It's what it's most commonly known to everybody. Everyone can, and the audiences like it. That's more of a comedian's like, oh, he's doing a crocodile hunter thing, but I think a good comic would take the time to notice, like, oh, he's doing, like, he's not doing the same punchline everyone else is doing. He's, like, he's going at a different angle. So I think that's perfectly fine, you know?
Yeah, good.
Not everyone's going to be the quirky, weird guy who just does offbeat stuff the whole time. You kind of have to do what you think is funny, too, you know?
Totally. Like, do you find you've been doing it, let's just say 10 years to round it.
Yeah.
Do you find yourself, like, looking back at some material you did and going, ugh. I watched
my tape from like last week. I was like, I suck. who's letting me headline this week? What the hell is this about? Oh my God. Dude, I watched the tape from like my first set or one of my first years like doing comedy. I don't even know how people let me continue doing comedy. Like, I was like, who allowed this? Like, my friend saw this. Like, this is horrible.
But at the time, it seemed so good.
I remember feeling like, I got some chuckles. I can do this. I mean, I got the bug, like, right away. The first time on stage, it was like, this is it. I got to figure out a way to do this all the time.
Do you remember your opening
book? It's the same opening bit I have now. No. That'd be really bad. I think it was something about graduating college, because I was about to graduate. I was like, I had one semester left, and it was something about my degree. I don't remember. I think it was something about not using my degree, and I think I remember some like Bounty the Quicker Picker Upper kind of reference, like, oh yeah, something, I don't know, something
like
that.
Like jerking off in your dorm room and Bounty picking it up.
No, that was the second set, I think.
Yeah. Sounds like that's my bit, dude. I'm that's my newest bit.
Oh man, I'm so hacked. No, yeah, it was something about like, yeah, I didn't use my degree, but you know, wipes up spills. That's all I'm using it for, something like that. And then I think I said, I had some bit about like looking. I still talk about looking young for my age. It's been my whole thing my whole life.
You still look young.
I know. I'm 33 now. I'm almost 34, and everyone thinks I'm like, 10 years younger. So when you can imagine when I was 20 years old, everyone thought I was like a freshman in high school or something. And so I think I said something about how I was – I can't believe I'm just telling this on your podcast, but, this is the show, how far I've come. I think I said something like I'm an easy date because if we go to Red Lobster on Tuesday, I eat for free or something like that.
Wow.
That was the big punchline there. I was like, woo, yes. I was all like, you could see me smiling like, hey, if I go to Red Lobster on Tuesday, I eat for free, like dancing. And, I thought I got some chuckles listening to the tape. I think someone just like farted in the background or something. Like, I don't know what I heard on stage, but I came off feeling like this is it. But watching the tape, I'm like, someone should have told me, like, to, go to grad school or something.
Even if they did, would it have mattered?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
Once you got the bug, man, it's very hard to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's like AIDS.
You can't wait to get on. Yeah. Right.
Just
doesn't
go
away.
When you get that comedy bug, it's like, well, I got it. I've got
the comedy AIDS.
The comedy AIDS.
It's true, I think.
Comades. That's why we're comedians.
I think you figured out something.
I did. AID isn't. If you take AID, it's in comedian. It's just not in that order.
You put the AIDS in comedian.
We put the AIDS in comedian. I think we've got a bit.
All right. Oh, you want it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, we'll flip for it.
Yeah.
You ever have that happen where, like, you're like, what's the rule with that? I never really know. When your comedians are talking and then you kind of both work yourself into something and then it's like, ooh, I want to do it. You want to do it? And then what do you do?
I think the rule is, like, if you're in a writer's meeting and somebody has the idea and it's kind of their turn, it's their bit.
Mm.
But if it's just in conversation, I think you share the bit.
Mm.
Like, that's happened to me a few times, and me and the other comic are like, let's just both kind of develop it, and
see where
whenever we're on, if we're on the same show together, it's just
don't do it.
Yeah, one person just doesn't do it.
And then do you have, like, the TV rule, like, first guy to do it on TV? Or someone does it on TV, then it's their bit? Because that's what I've always heard is,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, that's kind of been the unwritten rule, too.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody does it on TV. Although there are times that I've come up with bits, and then I've seen... Well, I've seen it on TV after I've come up with it.
That's the worst.
That
happened to me recently, too.
But my rule is, if I see it on TV, like, if I come up with it and it's a good bit,
yeah,
and then later on I see it on TV... If it's somebody really famous,
right,
I immediately drop it.
Right.
If it's just another comic and the bit is similar but not exact, I'll still do it because I'm like, I know I didn't steal it.
Right.
And it's a good bit. It's working well for me, so I'm not going to
let
it go. But if somebody does it on TV and it's a comic and it's the exact
it's close
same
enough.
Bit,
yeah,
I'm
just,
like, ah, fuck, I can't.
You just can't, yeah.
I just really can't.
Yeah, I had a thing like that where I did a bit. It was like on my like Laugh Factor, not my thing, but on the Laugh Factor YouTube, and I did some bit that I'd actually had said off stage for many years, but didn't really do on stage too much. And then someone commented on the thing like, hey, this is so-and-so's bit. And I didn't even know who the comic was. I obviously never seen him. I've never done a show with him. And I was like, who the hell is that? I had to like try to look through tons of YouTube videos, try to even find the bit. And I finally found it. And it was on like some special he did like a few years ago. And it's really similar, and so it's not obviously word for word, but it's so close that it's like I can't do it. It's like it's way too close, and it's like it's like I kind of follow the same rule. It's like if it's someone super famous, you don't want to do that. Someone not famous, but it's different enough to where you feel like you can still do it, and or maybe you can even talk to the person and be like, hey man, like just so you know, and you guys are cool with it. I don't think it's a problem, but if it's so similar that it's better for you to actually just drop it, like
it,
you said, because.
Yeah.
People will just get weird, and you know how it is on the internet now. Everyone's like, "You stole it!"
Oh, totally.
And I even outed myself on the thing. Not outed myself that I stole it, but outed myself that I'm gonna drop it. I even just said, "Hey, listen, man, thanks for letting me know. I didn't steal it. Don't accuse me of that. But I just saw the video, and you're right, it is too close. So I'm gonna not do it anymore. And I haven't done it since then. But I was kind of annoyed that everyone just assumes that you you know what I mean?
Oh, I hate
it's that. Like, that's what, it's your guilty until proven innocent with the thing. I'm like, don't you understand? Like, we're all comedians. Like, there's a good chance we're going to come up with similar shit because we're like funny,
that,
you know?
I talked about this on a previous show, but it's like that thing with Greg Wilson that happened in America. It's like,
I never talked to Greg about that. Did you ever talk to him?
I
always just kind of felt like, look, I don't know, and I'm not the first one to like accuse everyone of that. So,
well, no, I mean, I've known Greg. I mean, and I won't get into this because again, I've talked about it before. But the bottom line is, it's two comics who saw the same situation and made a joke about it.
Right,
it's
and that's how the bit is gonna go.
Yeah,
like yeah.
But see, yeah, but people, for lack of a better term, normal people don't know the inner workings.
Civilians.
They just think if two comics do the same joke, somebody must have stolen it.
You must have stolen it, yeah.
Yeah, I actually had a bit that I wrote years ago about, you remember that Carl's Jr. commercial with Paris Hilton when she was eating the burger
in the
car and everything? I had this bit about the commercial, and I was kind of like just on a whim doing it on stage at Melrose, and I tagged it with a line that I knew right when I said it was almost verbatim from a Bill Hicks joke.
Huh.
And it got a great laugh, of course.
Right.
And I walked off stage going, oh, God, that works, but it's close. And I asked like 10 comics who are all Hicks fans, and I asked their opinion. They go, it's close, but I wouldn't worry about it.
Huh.
I was like, all right. So I did it, and I put the clip online, and like the first comment, wow, Bill Hicks would have loved this, took the clip down, dropped the bit. But then what it did, it forced me to look at the bit from a different angle.
Mm.
And I did that.
Go
and now
I've got with it.
I took the same kind of nugget of an idea and I turned it into this completely different premise and completely different bit. So I'm actually.
And you get more out of it.
Yeah, got so much more out of it. Came up with an original
take on
it. And yeah, it's a bit that I'm very proud of.
Oh, good.
But so I think sometimes those situations force you to become a better comic.
Right, right. Yeah, find a different way to go about getting that idea across or whatever. Yeah. So. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, especially with the internet, that's kind of like where you're at now, and maybe it's good in that sense that you get that immediate feedback instead of like maybe doing it for a longer period of time and having people kind of talk behind your back.
Exactly.
Of like, thing. You know what I mean? You kind of get that. But at the same time, some of these, it's just like 13-year-old kids commenting, and they just watch some other random video, and, oh, this is just like that, and it's like, it's really not, and then someone else reads that comment first, or like, this guy steals, and it just blows up into this whole thing.
Awful. Yeah. Isn't that insane that our egos are based on the opinion of someone we don't even know?
I try not to look at that stuff at all.
Me neither.
That one I just happened to be looking. I just checked the view count. I was like, I wonder how many this has. And it was like the first comment there. And that's the only reason why I saw that the comment of like, oh, he stole this from so-and-so. Otherwise, I mean, I would have missed it had it been another, you know, few weeks or something like that.
It's amazing, though. It's like, I think about that all the time, just how social media is changing everything.
Yeah.
Especially in this business. Like, I started over 20 years ago before the internet was what it was. It was just on the, you know, on the fringe of starting to be something. And so there was no YouTube, no video clips. So I kind of went about it like comedy, thinking how it was in like the 80s.
Right,
just like,
right.
You know, you get some TV spots and then you start developing, blah, 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 blah. Now it's just like, fucking somebody who's been doing comedy for 2 months can put up a funny sketch.
If anything, it weighs more towards that. It's like the opposite. I feel in the past, I'd say 6 years or so, I've seen more guys or girls or whatever, like just more comedians with less experience just stand-up wise shoot up faster than I've ever seen before.
I
don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, on some level, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool that you can do that. And, you know, we're kind of, I mean, you're older than me, but, like, we're out of that time frame of, like, you know, if you're, like, 24 now or something like that, you have that window of, like, YouTube being there ever since you first started kind of thing. And, you know, that wasn't there for us or whatever.
Just at the end of that.
Yeah.
It's like, right when YouTube was coming out, we were kind of getting, like, just past that age.
Yeah, we're already a little older. Oh, yeah, man. And so it's like, you know, if you're younger, though, or you're in high school or college or whatever, and you're just starting, you have that ability, it's easy to accelerate that process to get up faster or even leapfrog higher because it's like you're the young hot thing. You got some views, you got some followers, you got subscribers, whatever it is. But, you know, so that's a cool, good thing. But I think it's also a bad thing because I think you start seeing the downside of it once it gets to big live performances because I think the faster you shoot up, the faster you also go down.
Yeah.
And so when you have to, like, follow your own hype and have to go do a big show, and you really don't have the experience of doing tons and tons of shows under your belt, then you start disappointing people, and then you'll go right back down as fast as you go up. So I think it's harder almost to maintain if you haven't like earned your spurs on the way up.
Totally.
You know?
But then I think the young guys that are getting those instant shots, they've got so many people helping them as far as writing material and throwing it, that if they're smart enough, they could maintain it.
Yeah.
But honestly, and I'm going to sound like a bitter prick right now, it's like, it just seems like, this is the only business where the less experience you have, the more inclined you are to succeed. It really is kind of backward.
I think, especially on the initial like door openings, like getting your first TV spot or getting like that first agent manager or getting in the door, or getting in like some spots, because it's so about like the fresh face and who's this guy. And so it's real easy to come in the door. You have a hot 7 minutes and like, whoa, who's this guy? And you know, it's like you're the new hot chick that just transferred schools in 11th grade. And it's like, who's this girl? You know, where's she been?
Right,
all of a sudden, the girl who's been the hottie since like 7th grade, you know, is kind of
like
a notch down.
Yeah, even
though she might be hotter, it's just like new girl here. That kind of takes priority. And I think that kind of happens with Con. But ultimately, man, I really believe that the cream rises at the top and like it all kind of pans itself out. And I think eventually, and I think you're even starting to see it a little bit now, the internet starts getting a little overloaded, watered down. Like a lot of that stuff, the Twitter followers, YouTube things, it'll start to mean less as that kind of, washes out. And I think Netflix is actually going to be like the next bigger thing, because you've seen so many good shows on there now. I mean, I've had Netflix for a little bit, and it, honestly, when they first started doing the streaming thing, it kind of sucked. I was like, I didn't even like it. One of my friends had the DVD send-in, mail-in thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do that because I was like, I don't want to deal with like mailing things back and forth. But then they had the online streaming, and there was like really nothing on there. I was like, I don't like any of this crap. Like, what is all this on there? But now it's like there's original programming. There's all these shows. Every, you know, seasons and seasons of things are on there. And I think that's going to – it's only like $8. That's like how HBO was, you know, or cable was in like the
back
80s
in the day,
or whatever,
you
know. So I could easily see that becoming the platform for comedy specials or sketches or whatever. And I think some of those things are going to start doing more of that, like, you know, HBO Go or whatever service it is. I sound like a commercial now. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that's – you got to be on the cusp of the next new thing instead of like, hey, you know, we missed the boat with the YouTube and Twitter, whatever. You got to be the best or the first. And honestly, sometimes if you're the first, you're just default the best, even though you're not really the best. And so it's almost just like I just start thinking about the next thing. I'm like, all right, you know, timing wise, that didn't work out to be YouTube hero right away. There's still time to grow that. But now it's like, what's the next thing? Is it Netflix? Is there some other site? Is MySpace going to come back? Like, what? Just start thinking, like, try to be on the curb.
Be great if MySpace.
Well, they just relaunched it. And I went on there and looked at it. It's totally weird. It's like it's all music, and they totally revamped the whole thing. They deleted like all the old messages. I was trying to find old messages on there from some girl from like 8 years ago. I was like, where'd it go? And like, yeah. So I don't know what's gonna happen with that. But
no, I think Tom would be so happy.
Yeah, poor
if
Tom.
MySpace came back.
How many friends does he have now? Where's Tom?
Probably living under a bridge, going, Mark Zuckerberg.
I feel like any person could just walk up to me and be like, I'm Tom from MySpace. And I'd be like, you know what? I believe it.
That's
like,
true, actually.
Because no one knows what he looks like. You have that one picture.
Yeah, that one picture of him kind of looking over his shoulder.
Sideways, right? On the whiteboard. And like that was like 10 years ago. Who knows what he looks like now?
That's a good point. Actually, that should be your opening line.
I should do that? Does anyone know what Tom from MySpace is? Like, hi, I'm Tom from MySpace.
Exactly. You know him from MySpace as Tom. Please welcome K-Tom Tatar.
Right, I'm just going to change it. That's what the T in K-T Tatar stands
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
It's actually Tom.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just I found out your name is actually like a Japanese name.
Yeah, Kenichi. Yeah,
Kenichi.
That's my first name, yeah.
Isn't Konnichiwa thank you?
Yeah, it's Konnichiwa.
Oh, Konnichiwa.
It's like K-O. Yeah, and this my K-E.
So your name isn't like thank you, Tatar.
Right? No, no. I know people always hear that's like the thing they first think. It sounds. It's yeah. I guess it's similar, but
Well, Anglo. So
yeah.
All like through my ears, it's just all like
whitey,
big whitey, huge whitey.
No, I totally get it. No, yeah, it's you know, it's so just kind of first
are you actually born, so. Are you working on anything as far as like putting content out, like Netflix or anything?
I've been talking to a couple people about trying to tape something this fall or spring to try to tape a special, because that, I mean, that's what I want to do. I want to just, you know, try to go for that. And I don't know what they're doing. I've known a couple people that just kind of recently sold something on there. So I'm like, you know, if I can get something taped and try to get it on there, that's what I'm kind of working towards. So nothing concrete yet, but we're going to see. I'm going to do a couple test runs with some people and, you know, hopefully within a year have something up and out and on there, you know. Nice.
And you have a CD, right?
Yeah, I have a CD I taped actually almost about 2 years ago now, year and a half ago, but I didn't get it done until about a year ago.
Did you do it independently or through a label?
Yeah, I just did all myself. I recorded at the Brea Improv, had like a digital recorder. They have it mic'd up there. It's awesome. So
nice.
I just, there was like a mixing board in the back and just recorded that myself. And
best way
to
do it.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Is it up on iTunes and everything?
Yeah, I got it on iTunes.
Perfect.
All that. Yeah.
So what's it called?
It's called Mistaken Identity.
Can I see it?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
KT has a box right here. Are you got, sorry, the Yoohoo showroom manager just walked in. How much time before you need to open the doors? Honestly.
Pretty soon.
Okay.
Want to take a quick break and we'll restart it?
Yeah. I'm actually holding KTCD in my hand as I almost fell backward. Let me see where we are on time, guys. We're about 31 minutes in. Yeah, why don't we take a little pause and we'll move to the green room and we'll finish this up before our first show tonight.
All right,
so we will be right back, guys. And we're back. Wasn't that like a... That would seem like nothing to people, but we are now, we're in the green room now of the Flappers Comedy Club. Got kicked out of the Yoohoo because we weren't good enough. No, they had to start their show. So, yeah, we're talking about your CD.
Yeah,
so
you had my CD. Did you lose it already?
I gave it back to you.
Oh, you did?
I gave it back to you. I just remember there was you being hugged by a black guy on it.
I don't even remember. Oh, sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Sunglasses just fell.
All right, here you go.
There we go. Yeah. So KT Tatara, Mistaken Identity. Who's that on the cover?
That's it's just an actor. I got this this guy off of Craigslist or LA Casting or something. I don't know.
What was the casting? Black guy?
Yeah, it was just like big, large football player black guy needed. Because I have this bit, not to like ruin my whole thing, but... you know, about getting mistaken for a girl at the airport and this big black dude comes up behind me or whatever. So I just thought it'd be a funny picture to just take some pictures of this, you know, large black man behind me, kind of like, you know, checking me out, like, what's up? And I just kind of have a funny look on my face. So that's like the picture on the front of the CD.
That's exactly what the picture is.
So Mistaken Identity, I kind of titled that bit that, but it's kind of encompassing of like a couple different things on there, like not just the mistaken for a girl joke, but also just like looking younger than I am, or or racially, because being half white, half Asian, sometimes people don't know or they think I'm some other thing or whatever. So it was a couple different, you know,
I also
meanings
like the,
to it.
The liner notes, the special thanks, the last couple.
Can I read these? Go ahead, read it. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Because recorded Brea Improv June 6, 2011 and November 30th, 2011.
Yeah, you know what's funny? The recorder ran out the last 5 minutes of the first one. So I had to go back in November to, like, finish recording. So it's all from one show except for, like, the I mean, it mixed together. I edited it together. You can't even tell. But it's just, like, the last, I don't know, two bits or the last 5 minutes, you know, or something like that. It sucks. I had to go back in November to record it. So sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
It's okay. Special thanks to the God of your choice or not. Very nice. My parents, Iconi Productions, Charlizzle, Kosha, not Kesha.
Kosha,
but with the dollar sign. Johnny LaQuasto, the Brea Improv, and then Sushi, Weed, and Depression. All three. You can't go wrong with all.
It all went towards making all those jokes.
That's great, man. So you recorded this in 11, but released it last year?
Yeah. It came out May or June of 2012.
Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It was cool. I mean, I actually made several recording attempts before that, like in 07, 08, 09, you know what I mean? And I would record different sets or headlining sets and try to get it. And there would either be some technical issues or I just kind of didn't like the kind of the flow of the bits or kind of, you know, the organization. So I'm glad it kind of like worked out the way it did. Like, you know, I think this all came out well. And I actually cut out a couple bits that I did on those shows that I just, like, by the time I got around to editing it or whatever, Like, I did them differently or better, and I was like, I don't want that on there. So it still ended up being like 40, 45 minutes or something. And then I also have a song on there, a comedy song, on the end of it that I'll do. You'll see me do
special,
tonight.
Special song for the ladies. Nice.
Do
you find now after you put that out, do you kind of go like, okay, I did that. I like the Louis C.K. thing. I put that out, and I want to work on a whole new hour. Or do you? Are you still kind of cherry picking off?
Oh, let me just give a quick plug. So Kosha is the working name for one of my friends that I went to college with. I was a music major in college, by the way. I played trombone. One of my friends who was a composition major.
You must have gotten pussy like a motherfucker.
That drops the panties. Let me tell you something. When they see that slide, they're like, ooh, what a big instrument you got. One of my friends, he was a music composition major, I think. And anyways, he moved out here. He's a singer-songwriter, has a band, all that stuff. So he writes for, you know, other musicians and does his own thing and tours around and all that stuff. But he does, like, side comedy projects for me and just with other friends, like, for fun. And so that's, like, his alias, you know, Kosha or whatever with the dollar sign. And, like, Kesha with the dollar sign, so Kosha with the dollar sign. So that's why he's on there, because he made the track to the last song on there, special song for the ladies, which is actually titled Butt Sex. If you want to look it up on YouTube, don't act like you've never looked up Butt Sex on YouTube.
I was
going to
say, I'm sure a lot of other things will come up before your song.
There's no nudity in the video. It's just, it's a parody. It's like making fun of all those R&B songs that are like, girl, I want to sex you, and like all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of me just taking it to another level, asking this girl for butt sex. And the music video came out great. It's really funny. But Kosha made the track for me, and I love it. And so when I headline, I'll bring her. This is like a special surprise. So now I'm ruining it for all your listeners that may come to the show. But
this is going to be aired.
Well, just if they see me in the future, you know what I mean? So here's the trick. Basically, what you do is you bring a girl to the show that, you know, doesn't know about me or whatever. And I'll say, like, hey, is there anyone, like, you know, an anniversary or birthday date or never seen me before, if I'm like, you know, doing a show where a lot of my fans are there or something like that, because then people will bring their friends that haven't seen me, and then I'll bring some unsuspecting girl on stage and I'll sing, and it starts off really romantic and nice, but then by the chorus I'm singing I want butt sex and everyone goes crazy and it's funny.
Nice.
So I'll do that when I headline, and it, you know, it also helps for the CD because it's on the, you know, last track on the CD. It's all stand-up except for that one track. So I think I'm going to make that a regular thing. So going into your question, I don't eliminate everything right away, but I try to, like, eliminate bigger chunks as much as possible and as soon as I can kind of replace it. But my goal is to try to come up with a whole new CD, you know, within another year. Well, years kind of, I think, tough, but maybe 2 years. But also have another song or two to be put on there. So the idea is, like, every CD I put out, you know, different stand-up and then still the same kind of song, kind of closing it out.
Is there a live version of the song in the CD or just a studio?
It's just a studio version, yeah. So, I mean, I can't sing. You know, it's auto-tuned. No. It's, you know, it's I just sing along with the track when I sing it live. I tried having the auto-tune thing live when I first did the song like 3 years ago, before it was on the CD when I just first wrote it. And it was tough. I'm not that guy. And, you know, and Eric Schwartz, friend of ours, Smoothie, he's a real big music guy, and he does that, and he's great. And I'm just kind of like, you know what, this is just like a bonus, just because I was a music major and it's my background to kind of work it in as for fun. But
totally,
I'm trying not, it's not really my whole act, and it's just kind of like a special thing at the end, kind of for fun. But yeah, I'm not a good enough singer to make like a whole live show out of it.
No, I know my, I've had like, I put out 5 CDs.
Wow.
And I think on all but the last one, there's been some kind of music and sketch on it.
Yeah,
too,
it's like, fun to do a
thing.
I'm
a theater major, so I like doing that little, throwing those bones, because that's what I enjoyed when I was listening to comedy albums.
And it's something you can't get from the live show or whatever. It's a bonus to like get the CD and like get some extra
stuff,
you know? I mean, and a lot of guys have done that on their albums, too. It's kind of a lost thing. I feel like not a lot of people, newer guys do that or younger guys do that. I feel like you listen to some older albums, there was more of those things on there, I feel like.
Well, definitely in the, with like, well, Cheech and Chong, obviously, and Sandler when it was first coming out.
Yeah. I mean, even Chris Rock's like first album, a couple albums, you know, had that on there. So that was like in the 90s, you know, so.
I know Joe Rogan had one.
Oh, really?
On his, second album, I think, he had a, I was just listening like to an audio the sketch. First time. Started off with an audio. I think Brett Ernst was in it, but I could be wrong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sounded like him. But no, that's great, man. That's great. Yeah,
thanks, man.
I always think that it's like an audience. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, how are you? Like an audience appreciates a little bonus on the CD other than just straight stand up.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good.
Sorry. How's it going?
No, it's we're doing a little podcast. Are you on the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Flip. Rebecca, nice to meet you.
What's up, KT? How's it going? How are you?
Rebecca just walked in, everybody. Rebecca.
Arthur.
Excellent. So.
Yeah, we're like T-minus 30 minutes to showtime.
Yeah,
here.
This is exciting. We could, if you want, we could wrap it up now so you can get in your, kind of your zone and everything.
Yeah, I was going to get something to eat here. Drive
absolutely.
Before the show
well, starts. Let's, before we go, there's a little part of the show that that I like, that we like to kind of put toward the end. It's a little part of the show called The Skippy Green Show.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Hello, KT.
Hey, Skip.
How are you?
Oh, good, man. Good to be here.
Oh, it's good. Is it really?
It's always good knowing that you've traveled here from a great distance.
KT, let me tell you, there isn't a distance far enough I wouldn't travel to watch you squirm. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Answer the following question.
Oh, no.
In 10 words exactly.
All right.
Not 11, not 9, 10 words. Are you ready?
I'll try.
If you could fuck abroad.
Okay.
While playing any song on the trombone, what would it be and why?
Wow, 10 words. Can I ask a quick question? Is a name one word or two words? A proper name? Oh, no.
You'd think as an Asian, you'd know math
know.
A lot better than
this. I know the math part. This is a language part. I was bad at verbal. My SAT verbal was pretty low.
The proper name is one word.
Oh, okay. I don't. All right.
Mary Smith, the two words.
A lot of pressure here. I don't know. I don't want to have to lick your balls. Is that what I have to do at the end of this?
Well, that's going to happen either way.
I'm scared. All right. Okay. Here we go. 10 words. I would pick Paul Creston's Fantasy, because it's very fast.
I like it. That's a that is a great fucking answer. It's fast on the trombone?
Yes.
Perfect.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
So stupid. Dude, thanks.
Oh, my God.
Thanks so much for doing this.
I thought you were going to make me lick your balls. Is like
no, no, no. That, again,
lick my balls.
Lick them hard.
Where can people find you?
KTTatara.com. That's KTTatara.com. I always just say Google KT and comedian. I'm the only dude named KT that's a comedian, I think. So then you find my YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, you know, all that stuff on their website. So.
Perfect. Yeah. And Twitter? You said Twitter,
yeah,
right?
It's at KTTatara. Facebook.com/KTTatara fans, YouTube.com/user/KTTatara. Yeah, I have all the links on the website. So
perfect. And you can download Mistaken Identity on iTunes.
Yep.
There you go. And guys, don't forget, you know where you can get me, flipisfunny.com, at Flip Schultz on Twitter. You got all my CDs on iTunes, including Skippy Green CD, Lick My Balls, is on iTunes. And I got some great shows coming up. I believe this is going to be up in time. I'll be at the Vegas Improv at Harrah's the Labor Day weekend.
Ooh.
End of the month. And a bunch of Midwest shows in September, Lansing, Michigan, and somewhere else. Fort Wayne, Indiana. There we go.
Nice.
And all those dates can be seen on my website. Thank you guys so much for listening.
What's for dinner?
And we will see you next week. Bye. I literally have the phone to the microphone.
Talking about what's ever on their mind.
Thanks again, man.
Thanks for having me.
Talking about what's